It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, I can't understand that.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
And it's not fair just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
And welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today's drive for excellence, take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body, my friends. We were made for this moment in history. And I get to work with a really amazing team. That's producer Joe, Luke, Rachel, Zach, Echo, Charlie, Mike, Teresa, Amanda, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. And we are pre-recording most of the shows for Holy Week, which is the time between Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday. And very pleased for our Good Friday broadcast, our number one, to be talking with Dr. Donald Sweeting. And he is the Chancellor of Colorado Christian University, and he's a noted educator, minister, academic, and author. Dr. Sweeting, welcome to the show.
Kim, it's great to be with you again.
And I wanted to let people know that they can find your blogs at Don Sweeting, that's SWEETING.com, and really a lot of really informative and informational blogs there, so would certainly recommend that people do that. But Good Friday, and it's such an important day in history and for Christians as well. For people that may not quite understand the relevance of Holy Week and what that all looks like, let's walk them through that, Dr. Sweeting.
Oh, I'd be glad to. So Holy Week is a week designated by Christians to commemorate the from Palm Sunday all the way to Easter Sunday, the resurrection. And lots of Christians around the world, they will sort of walk through the week very slowly and reading the passage of what happened each day, Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, the clearing of the temple, teaching and the temple, the plot against Jesus, the Last Supper, Gethsemane, the arrest, and then on Good Friday, the crucifixion, and then the day in the tomb on Saturday, and Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. And for Christians, and for a long time, Kim, Christians have looked at this as sort of the most profound week in the history of humankind, apart from creation itself and maybe the incarnation, but that has huge implications. They look at it as not sort of, this is Disney World with the wonderful themes that make you feel good, but this really happened. And there was a real Jesus. You can go to Jerusalem today, of course, and you can see the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and these are important events. And, of course, it's all recorded in the New Testament as well. I don't know if you know this, but one-third of Jesus' teaching recorded in the Gospels took place during this week. One-third of his works took place during this last week. And one-third of the Synoptic Gospels focus on the events of this last week, except for John. And John's Gospel, half the Gospels devoted to this last week. And I think that's God's way of just saying, look, focus on this, slow down, go deep. This is profoundly important.
Well, it's interesting that you would say that, Dr. Sweeting. I have been reading my Bible, really working towards reading it regularly. And as I've been going through some of the Gospels, and people will come to Jesus with a request, and he says, my time is not yet. For example, even the changing water into wine, his mother says, go ask him. And he kind of puts them off and says, my time's not ready yet. I'm paraphrasing how I understand it, but yet he does the miracle. So you're very schooled in this. What's your thoughts on this?
Well, Jesus knew that he was going to fulfill his Father's will. He knew that he had an appointed hour, that he came to be the Redeemer. And so, you can imagine the first part of his life where his ministry was not public. He was growing up and he was filling in for Joseph. But then at the appropriate time, I believe that the Father, by the Holy Spirit, gave him an acute sense of now's the time. The wedding at Cana, actually, that was his first miracle, public miracle, and that was early on. So I think his words make sense.
Okay, and so this is such an important week, again, beginning with Palm Sunday. And I find that this Palm Sunday to Easter is a lesson in how fickle human nature is.
Yeah.
And I think that's important that we understand that not only for then, but for now.
Yeah, you see it in the crowds on Palm Sunday where all the pilgrims are praising him and hailing him as the king and as Davidic, the one coming in the name of David. And then by Friday, it's probably not exactly the same crowd, but the people are shouting, "Crucify him!" And everybody is conspiring to do away with him. The Romans, the Jewish leaders, the powers that be, and it does testify to the fickleness of our hearts. It's not just their hearts; it's our hearts too.
And why? Why were they so adamant to do away with him, Dr. Sweeting?
Well, there are several levels on which you want to answer that. One is that Jesus was a threat to the Roman system because he was talking about, the kingdom of God. And Caesar was very particular that he was the only one. So some looked at it as a political threat. And I think to, the Jewish leaders, he came as one claiming to be the Messiah. There were Jews that accepted him. We often forget that there were. I mean, there are 12 disciples, and you have Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. But there was an elite that did not, that looked at him as a threat. It's interesting. The question of who killed Jesus has often come up in church history, and I think we have done, we've really done ourselves a disservice and the world a disservice when we pick out one group and just say, it was the Romans or it was the Jews or whatever, because ultimately Scripture says it was our sins that put him there.
Mm-hmm.
We were there. And even more deeply than that, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, that he was delivered over by the sovereign foreordained plan of God. This was God's means of bringing a final atoning sacrifice to the world.
Well, and one of the things, even when I'm at church and I see communion or I'm out and about and I look at other human beings, I find it almost mind-boggling that Christ went to the cross for each and every one of us. It's almost bigger than I can get my brain around, Dr. Sweeting.
Well, that's true. That's true of the cross. That's true of the gospel message. I'm teaching a course at CCU right now. It's an intro to theology course, and it's a required course, so everybody has to take it. I have about 50 students, and I was telling them the other day, the gospel is as simple as John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. But the gospel is very deep as well. It's as deep as the book of Romans, I tell them. And so the cross is a many-splendored thing. People say, well, what's so good about Friday? And I say, well, there was a lot bad about Friday, like the rejection, and it seemed like the forces of darkness were winning. But God's purposes were being accomplished, and he was reversing our radical stuckness into our own depravity, and he was bringing life out of death. And so there are so many the depths of the gospel are very deep. The best illustration I can use is the diamond on a black velvet at a jeweler's store. When you go and you get it, look for an engagement ring, and the jeweler shows it to you. He puts it on the black velvet, and he says, "Well, look at it from this angle. No, look at it from this angle. No, look at it from this angle." And it just shows the brilliance of the stone. And I think that's what we see in the cross, in the resurrection, in the gospel, and in Jesus Christ himself.
Well, and speaking of the cross, my first question is, a lot of tough stuff happened on Good Friday. How is it that we call it Good Friday?
Yeah. Well, let's sort of unlock the meaning of the cross. And I will often say, you know, there are keys to unlock the meaning of the cross. So, first of all, the cross, when you just look at a cross, you remember it was an instrument of execution, right? It was a cruel punishment. And that's what makes Good Friday look so not good. But then you read Scripture and you realize, no, it's more than that. It was also an altar of sacrifice where God sent the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It was also, and think of a cross, the two beams intersecting, it was the intersection of God's love and justice, where God's love for sinners and his justice against sin met. And then I said, think of it as a map of reconciliation, where now because of this propitiatory sacrifice, where God is the just one and the justifier, his love reaches out to people that, you know, were estranged from him, like me, you know. And then think of the cross as an announcement of victory. It's a you know, in our many crosses you see are empty crosses, and when Protestants put out an empty cross, it's to remind people that he is not dead anymore. He is risen. So this is there's a wonderful profoundness to the cross, and this is why Good Friday is so good, because God was at work, working in atonement for sinners like us.
Well, and in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he was praying, we talk about stress in our lives, and the fact that as he was praying and knew what he was going to be going through, and certainly he was God, but he was also man, and I think the human component is looking at this saying, this is going to be tough. And in the Bible, it says that he actually was praying so fervently that he prayed, his sweat became like drops of blood. I'm thinking, wow, that's pretty stressful if you get to that point.
Well, we know stress can do weird things to you. I can testify to that. But this would be stress on a whole different level, because at this point he knew that he was going to be carrying the sins of bearing our iniquities, the sins of the world on him. He had a sense that his father would turn away from him. This would be, you know, as on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? This was so alien to him. This was so heavy and so monumental, let alone the powers of hell trying to interfere in his entire life and block this from happening. So this is stress to the nth degree.
Well, and in this 2025 America, I think that we need to realize that, because we talk about stress, mental health all the time. So we'll continue that discussion when we come back with Dr. Donald Sweeting. He is the chancellor at CCU. And we're talking about Good Friday, Easter, Holy Week. And these are important discussions. They happen because of our sponsors. And the Roger Maggot State Farm Insurance Team, they strive for excellence in everything that they do. And they want you to understand your insurance coverage. So give them a call for a complimentary appointment. That number is 303-795-8855. Like a good neighbor, the Roger Mangan team is there.
Car thefts, hailstorms, and uninsured motorists are presenting unique insurance challenges for everyday hardworking Coloradans. The Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team knows that when you need to make an insurance claim, financial strength matters. State Farm consistently receives high marks for the company's financial condition and ability to pay claims. For that peace of mind, to know that you are working with a financially strong company, contact the Roger Mangan team now at 303-795-8855. for a complimentary appointment to assess your insurance coverage. That's 303-795-8855. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love The Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields. So they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at kimmunson.com.
High inflation and increasing property taxes are making it more challenging for seniors to make ends meet. If you're 62 or older, a reverse mortgage may be the solution for what's keeping you up at night. It is essential that you understand the process and work with a trusted professional. Mortgage expert Lauren Levy will help you craft solutions for your unique circumstances, whether a mortgage, a second mortgage, or a reverse mortgage. If you'd like to explore what a reverse mortgage can do for you, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881. Call now.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And we are an independent voice on an independent station as we search for truth and clarity on all of these issues. So I want to say thank you to Laramie Energy for their gold sponsorship of the show, because it is reliable, efficient, affordable, and abundant energy from coal and natural gas and oil that powers our lives and fuels our hopes and dreams and empowers us to change our own personal climate. So I do thank them for that. We are pre-recording most of the shows during Holy Week, and I'm pleased to be talking with Dr. Donald Sweeting. He is the chancellor of CCU, Colorado Christian University. And this show will broadcast on Good Friday. And before we went to break, Dr. Sweeting, we were talking about Christ in at Gethsemane, where he's praying, and he's it's clearly stressful if he is sweating drops of blood. And as you said, this is stress on a whole different level. Here in America in 2025, we hear that so many people are under a lot of stress, that there's mental health challenges. And I think that we can look to Christ in the garden, and I think that's where I've started to realize that the whole story of from Gethsemane to the resurrection is a story that Christ has taken it all on. So the mental health issues he's obviously taken on with stress on the cross, and going through the scourging, and they stripped him, they took everything he had, his friends all left him, he was alone, abandoned. His mother, seeing her child on the cross, the loss of a child, certainly is so difficult for people. I look at this whole story from cross to resurrection, and it's the story that Christ took all these things on that we face, and so we can take great comfort great comfort in that, Dr. Sweeting.
Yeah, that's exactly right. As you're talking, Kim, I'm thinking of Isaiah 53, which is a passage. It talks about the servant to come, and it's referring, we believe, to Jesus. It's a prophetic passage. And it says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed." And I love this passage because it acknowledges our griefs, our sorrows, and it then says that God understands. And he sent his son into the world. He was tempted in every way as we are, but without sin. He experienced the crushing burdens of life. But this wasn't just an ordinary man. This was the infinite, eternal God-man who was on a mission, a rescue mission, to bring redemption in his first coming. And because of his redeeming death on the cross, he lifts our sorrows and griefs, and not only carries them, but he heals, and he brings new life. And that's why, you know, there's Easter. I think for some people, they think of it like, oh, it's sort of like the Easter Bunny thing. But no, this speaks so deeply, and it really happened. It's on a whole different level. You mentioned about the you know, young people experiencing stress and everything. So I live in a young people world, primarily on campus, and it's a Christian college. But we see a lot of things happening, and we're very aware of the mental health crisis, which I think behind that there's a longing for meaning, and it's coupled with the loneliness epidemic, and so I think we're seeing right now among young people sort of a turning away from all this new atheism stuff, and they're realizing that's not enough. Hyper-rationalism doesn't really, I mean, rationalism is important, but hyper-rationalism that leaves so much unexplained. And we're seeing an openness, a spiritual openness. I got a call from The Economist in England on Monday. I had an interview on, you know, what's happening. Christianity, its decline has slowed and stopped, and now we're seeing signs of people turning, you know, of upticks, even among, you know, Gen Z, and it's rather startling. But I think part of it is that they're looking for a story that connects with them and makes sense of life. And they're looking for solid hope, and they realize that the hope of there's no meaning, we came from nothing, we are nothing, we're going to return to nothing. That doesn't do a lot for your mental health. Mm-mm. Let's just put it that way.
Because there is a reason why we are here. And as I open the show, I say, and I mean it, we each are treasured and valued. And we were made for this moment. We are here for this moment in history. So it's not just dust to dust. There's a lot that goes on between the dust to dust. And certainly that relationship with Christ, I think, gives meaning to what happens between dust to dust.
Absolutely. You know, whoever's listening to this, your life is not an accident. You are here for a purpose. God created you to know him, and you can only experience real life by being reconnected to your Creator. And in the Bible, it says, you know, we can come to the Father through the Son. And that's why, you know, there's been this wonderful explosion of people embracing Christ all around the world. I mean, it's fantastic news. And we hear lies all the time saying, you know, well, I'm nothing. We came from nothing. Our life is meaningless. Everything's going to end in disaster. It's like, well, that's not the Bible storyline. The Bible's actually more realistic and just saying you're created by a loving God, and the world fell into sin, and it is broken, and God did something about it by sending his Son, and he's going to return, and there's going to be a new heaven, a new earth. And you can know him now, and he can bring resurrection life to you, but you have to deal with who he is and what he came to do and his cross and resurrection. I think that's why we're talking about this today, right?
Well, absolutely. And so many of our young people have been taught that, oh, yeah, Christ lived. He was a good guy. He was a prophet. But C.S. Lewis had a real answer to that, that each one of us is going to have to come to a determination of who Christ really is. And I think you probably hear that on college campuses, because a lot of kids have been said, oh, yeah, he's a good guy. He was just a prophet. How do you address that?
Well, I love what C.S. Lewis said about it. You know, he said he was either crazy, a lunatic, or a liar, or he's who he said he was. And if you look at his teachings that can be verified, there are lots of great manuscript evidence to back it up. He did not leave these other options open. I mean, his life was so spectacular. He's not a lunatic. He spoke of the highest ethics and obeying God. He wasn't lying. And the disciples didn't all die for a lie. They encountered something that they'd never encountered before, God with us in the person of Jesus Christ. And so, you know, Lewis at the end said, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord. So if you're listening to this and you are a skeptic, I would just say, okay, questions are good, but what if he is who he said he was? What would that change in your life? And have you actually gone to the New Testament and started to read those documents yourself and just said, God, if you're there, show yourself to me. I want to know.
And he does that real invitation. And it's different for each person. Who knows what that's going to look like. But this revival of people seeking Christ, coming to Christ, it's very exciting because, Dr. Sweeting, there's a lot of really evil stuff in this world right now. So many people are thrown so much evil at them in this society. Right. So this is so encouraging, but we're in this big battle of good and evil right now.
Well, we are. And so this interview is fascinating because, you know, they focused on the new atheism movement was popular, you know, 20 years ago, but it's losing momentum. And now we see more people turning to faith. And the guy said, how do you explain that? And I said, well, first of all, I think the evidence for the existence of God is stronger than and the arguments than that there isn't a God. But I said, I think a lot of thought leaders in the Western world are now looking at the post-Christian alternatives, and it frightens them. I mean, they see radical Islam, and that frightens them. They go, no, we cannot go there. They see where the woke ideologies and the sexual and gender ideologies end up going and what it does to a culture, and they go, well, no, that's not going to do it either. And they also see the deadness of secularism, that it's not enough because people in their hearts know there's something more than that. And I think all these things are driving people to think more deeply, especially young people.
Well, and I find that so encouraging, and I'm seeing that with many of the young people in my life as well, that this seeking, and I think you mentioned 20 years ago, I think that there were those that did not really believe in God. I think people said, oh, people are good. There's not really evil. I think that many individuals are looking at what's going on and they're saying, wait a minute, there is really evil out there. And
and
understanding that's important.
So I told my class, I said, of all the Christian doctrines, the doctrine of original sin is the easiest one to prove. And people say, well, how do you do that? I said, well, you empty your pockets. Show me your keys. What's that key for? Oh, that's to lock my house. Well, why do you need to do that? What's that key for? That's to lock the shed. What's that key for? That's to lock my office. I said, well, why do you need all these things? And then go to the newspaper, or if you don't read newspapers, you know, online, and, you know, let's look at the top 10 headlines. We know that this world is there's something not right. It's not the way it ought to be. And of course, you know, the whole postmodern mood of the late 20th century sort of met its moment, I think, even in 9/11, because New York City, the postmodern city, you know, that was even coming to the point of saying, well, we can't talk about good and evil because we're not sure if they exist. And after, I remember after the towers came down, the headlines of one New York paper was, we saw evil. It was like, okay, people's eyes are open. They have to, and I think people confront evil, and sometimes when they go, it's real. I don't know. I don't understand it completely. I don't want that. I don't want that. And this is what propelled C.S. Lewis, by the way, because before he went from atheist to and in his non-belief stage, he started exploring the occult, you know, spiritism and all that. And he saw how dark and powerful it was, and it frightened him. And then he started moving in the other direction and eventually came to faith in Christ.
And his story is so amazing, and that's C.S. Lewis, one of the great Christian apologists of the last century. I'm talking with Dr. Donald Sweeting for our first hour on Good Friday. This all happens because of our sponsors, and for everything regarding real estate, reach out to Karen Levine.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance understands the importance of home ownership. Karen Levine works diligently at the local, county, state, and national levels to protect your private property rights. With over 30 years' experience as a Colorado realtor, Karen Levine will help you navigate the complicated metro real estate market, whether you are buying your home, selling your home, considering a new build, or exploring investment properties. Kim Monson highly recommends Karen Levine. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516 for answers to all your real estate needs.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of The Kim Monson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmonson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
It's late at night, you're winding down with your family, and then you hear something outside. Your heart races. What's your next move? At Franktown Firearms and Colorado CQB, we make sure you're not caught off guard. Our purpose-built, 360-degree defensive shoot house puts you in realistic home defense scenarios, so you can build the skills to protect what matters most. In our home defense series, you'll train with experienced military and law enforcement instructors to handle critical situations with confidence. Learn to assess threats at your front door, clear rooms safely, manage entry points, and make smart decisions under pressure, even in low light conditions. Because when it's real life, there's no time to second guess. And with Franktown Firearms located in one of Colorado's lowest tax districts, you'll save money while investing in your safety and your family's future. Be prepared, be confident. Learn more now at klzradio.com/Franktown.
Thank God it's...
And welcome back to the Kim Monson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Monson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at Kim@KimMonson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice on an independent station searching for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And a nonprofit that I love to highlight on the show is the Center for American Values. It is located in Pueblo on the beautiful Riverwalk there. And they're doing great work. They're nonpartisan. They're nonpolitical. But they focus on these foundational principles or values of honor, integrity, and patriotism. And that plays out in curriculum they've created for K-12, our students, as well as their on values presentations. And then honoring our Medal of Honor recipients with their beautiful portraits of valor. So be sure and check all that out at their website at American Values. Center.org. For Holy Week, we are pre-recording most of the shows. I'm talking with Dr. Donald Sweeting. He is the chancellor at CCU, Colorado Christian University, and we're broadcasting this on Good Friday. And of course, Good Friday and the resurrection of Easter morning are closely connected, and we'll talk more about that in a moment. But Dr. Sweeting, I do see so many people that are coming back to the faith or becoming Christians. I've seen people getting baptized. There's so many blessings out there. But the Bible, reading the Bible is important, but it's confusing. And ultimately, somebody said to me that the Bible should be taken in its entirety. And it's the story of God continually pursuing, going through different scenarios to have a relationship with mankind, to have a relationship with each and every one of us. What's your thoughts on that view of the Bible?
Well, you know, the Bible was written over a long period of time by many authors in many places, and it is a spectacular book just by any human standards. But as Christians, we believe it's more than that, that it's the Word of God, that God is speaking and revealing himself through Scripture. But you may not be there where you believe that, if you're listening. But there's a unity to the Bible that a lot of people forget about. And it's so easy to get lost in its parts. So, you know, from Genesis to Revelation, there's a one story, even though there are many stories. And I think Paul actually refers to the theme of the Bible in his second letter to Timothy, where he says, Timothy, you've come to know, continue in what you've learned, and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you've learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, the scriptures, which he says are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. That's 2 Timothy 3:15. I think that's the theme of the Bible. The scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, the theme is salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And you say, well, how's that so? Well, because the big arching story is God creates the world, humanity rebels, then God promises a redeemer, a savior. He promises salvation. And who's it going to come through? Well, the Old Testament talks about the coming of the Christ, the Messiah. And the Old Testament shouts, he's coming through the law, the Torah, the history, the prophecies. And the New Testament shouts, he's arrived, he's here. And, of course, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John present Jesus in slightly different ways, all consistent. And then, you know, it tells how the early church was born, and Paul's writing to Christians to show them how to grow. And then Revelation says, and the story's not over. God is sovereign and in control, and Christ has promised to return. And the promises are phenomenal because evil will be done away with. There will be no more death and no more tears. And there will be a new heaven and new earth. So this, the sweeping of the story, I mean, it's so extraordinary. But it also makes sense of the world and our lives, because something in each of us says, I'm significant, even though people tell me I'm not. And something in each of us says, I'm out of joint. The world's not as it should be. And then something in us says, we need someone to make it right. And something in us says, you know, it can't all just end in nothingness. Something longs for eternity. I think all those longings that we have are evidence of the fact that this story is the true story. It's a real story.
Well, so with that, going to the Bible and getting to the New Testament, and we go through Christ's life, we get to after he has ascended to heaven, and the Holy Spirit comes into the picture. Now, I think there's references to the Holy Spirit before that, but the Holy Spirit comes onto the stage, and the Holy Spirit lives in each and every one of us. That's an interesting concept to try to get our brains around, but it's so amazing in this Trinity. It's hard to understand, hard to explain, but yet it is magnificent.
Well, yes, it's mind stretching. So God, you know, the Bible says there's only one true God. It's a monotheistic book, and the other pretenders are not gods at all. And then as you read through scriptures, you realize this God is is a triunity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Father, you see, create the world through his word. And John tells us that it was his Son, and the Spirit is hovering over the waters in Genesis. And so they're all playing a part. But the wonderful thing about the Holy Spirit, especially when you get to the New Testament, the Spirit is poured out on the church. And the Spirit, what we see in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit doesn't call attention to himself. He's always throwing the spotlight onto the Son, Jesus, to glorify the Son. But the Spirit is the way we are united with Christ, and he renews our hearts and gives us strength. And so his work is important and precious, but he is the most self-effacing member of the Trinity.
Well, and so with that, the Holy Spirit lives in us as Christians, but yeah. Sometimes we don't live very Christian-like. And I know that right. There are those that get turned off by looking at a church may be fighting with each other, Christians right. that are sinning. And how do you address that with young people? Because I bet that's not the first time you've heard that question.
Right. You should be in my intro to theology class that I'm teaching right now, Kim.
I should be.
Yeah. And we talked about this, you know, that when we're saved by Christ, the power of sin is broken. It's no longer the dominating power in our life because the Holy Spirit has come inside of us, and greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. But the presence of sin is doesn't disappear. We were still wrestling with our nature. There's what John Owen called indwelling sin in us. And not only that, but we're also often, you know, fighting the value system of this world and the devil himself and his satanic army. And yet over the course of a Christian's life, they lean into the Holy Spirit and the means of grace that God has given to us to grow, and patterns are broken, and habits come apart, and we're renewed in the inner man, and we become the goal is to become more and more like Christ as we go through our Christian life. Of course, if you're a Christian and you ignore the tools that God has given you to grow, then you're not going to see much progress. The goal is maturity, grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, and I think that as people are looking to Christ and wrestling with faith, I need to make sure to keep their eyes on Christ instead of looking at human beings in churches or human beings as the description of Christians. I think that we need to keep our eye on the prize, and I think right. That's a discipline that we need to talk with our young people about.
Well, yeah, for all of us. I mean, it's easy to get disappointed. I fail. And, you know, I tell people, you know, I need a savior. I sometimes teach church history. And so I'm familiar with all the wonderful things and all the messed up things. But I don't care how wonderful the Christian leader was. They all would admit they needed a savior because they were not they were sinners. So what that tells me, when we look at people, even the current leadership of our churches, and that we shouldn't expect to see unfallen people, but I think we should expect to see them getting back up and following Christ and striving to please him and repenting of their sin and growing in him. So we're all on that track, right?
Well, we absolutely are. And Dr. Sweeting, we've got a little bit more time left in this particular segment, but I will tell you that prayers in my life are being answered for people that I love, that are close to me, that are seeking Christ, that are finding Christ. And I'm just kind of amazed with some of these miracles that they're answers to prayer. And so I think maybe that's one of the things when we come back from break, let's talk about the power of prayer, because I think that's super important.
And let's talk about the resurrection, too.
What a good idea to talk about that, too. Let's do that. I'm talking with Dr. Donald Sweeting, and these are really important discussions, and they come to you because of our sponsors, and we have a new sponsor, which is the Second Syndicate.
The Second Amendment was established to ensure that all individuals have the right to resist oppression, stand firm against government overreach, and protect our ability to defend ourselves, our families, and our freedoms. Today, that right is under relentless attack in Colorado. Colorado's premier grassroots Second Amendment organization, the Second Syndicate, is on the front lines, fighting to preserve and protect your constitutional rights. We expose the most pressing threats to the Second Amendment and provide the education, resources, and tools to stay informed, empowered, and prepared. Join the movement. Protect your rights. Visit thesecondsyndicate.com. That's thesecondsyndicate.com, where the second is first.
A serious accident or a life-changing injury can leave you with seemingly insurmountable physical, emotional, and financial challenges. How will you be able to afford your medical bills? What if you can't return to work? The attorneys at Bozen Law understand the immense stress you are under and want to help. Bozen Law's attorneys have decades of experience helping people like you navigate some of the most difficult times in their lives. Bozen Law can provide the guidance and support you need to get back on your feet. Call Bozen Law now at 303-999-9999 for a complimentary appointment. That's 303-999-9999. Don't delay.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you'll get a first look at our upcoming guests as well as our most recent essays. I do always like to mention the USMC Memorial Foundation, the great work that they're doing to raise the money for the remodel of the Marine Memorial, which is out at 6th and Colfax. And it is because of our military, people that put their lives on the line or been willing to give their lives so that we have this these freedoms, religious freedom. We're talking about Good Friday and the resurrection, and pleased to be talking with Dr. Donald Sweeting. He is the chancellor at CCU, which is Colorado Christian University. Dr. Sweeting, wanted to just address prayer a bit before we talk about the resurrection, because this is broadcasting on Good Friday. But prayer is so important. And again, what do you say to your students about prayer?
Well, we were talking about how you grow in your faith, and prayer is vital to that. But even more basic than that, prayer literally means call or cry. You're calling upon God. You're crying out to Him. It's a very simple concept. And you read at the beginning of the Bible that the first name given to God's people is that they're people who call upon the name of the Lord. Hmm. It's wonderful. We forget that. And so if we're not calling upon His name, then we're in kind of trouble. So how do we grow as a Christian? I mentioned earlier, you know, there are means of grace that enable us to grow into maturity as Christians. One is being in the Word of God. Another is as being part of a church, a fellowship with Christians where the Bible is taught and the gospel is proclaimed. Another is the sacraments, especially baptism and the Lord's Supper. But the other essential element is prayer, you know, because when you go to the Bible and read it, the Bible is, it's not just a book. It's more like the tabernacle in the Old Testament. It's a meeting place. And as you God speaks to you through His Word, you respond to Him in prayer. Prayer is our lifeline. And if we're not calling upon God, that means we're living in our own strength with our own weaknesses, and we don't have resources. And you say, well, somebody might ask, you know, what's the connection between prayer and the resurrection? There is a connection. I mean, the good news of the resurrection means that Jesus is still around, and He can be called upon. And so prayer is absolutely essential. And I think during Holy Week, people are prone, you know, when they worship to, you know, pray for themselves, pray for the world, pray for the church, pray for the gospel outreach. in our society.
Well, and so let's connect all this together from Good Friday, appeared to be a very dark time in history. I think the devil was thinking, hey, I got this. And Christ said, oh, no, I got this. And that is the Easter morning and the resurrection where Christ overcame sin and death for all mankind. And it is the story of hope. So how do you like to connect all this together, Dr. Sweeting?
Well, I think it's important that word together is really important. You know, the cross and the resurrection are part of the work of Christ. And if we just focus on the cross without the resurrection, then we tend to be, I think, gloomy Christians because we're not living in our hope. If we just focus on the resurrection without the cross, we tend to be triumphalistic Christians, and we're not taking sin seriously and our need for a Savior. And so I find, you know, just like when I go to the optometrist and he gives me two different lenses so I can see straight, both of those help us see as Christians. The cross reminds us of our brokenness, our rebellion, the curse, the reality of death, our desperate need for a Savior, and the atoning, substitutionary atonement of Jesus. But the resurrection tells us that the cross and his work on the cross was effective for us, and that death doesn't have the final word. And there's victory over evil and the grave, and there's power available from on high, and there's hope that we have for now and for the future. So there's a deep connection between these two things.
Well, there is, and I've been traveling a lot, and I know you have as well. And I was visiting another church, and the pastor talked about Simon of Cyrene and him meeting Christ. And I hadn't really thought of this. I've read it. Simon of Cyrene, he came in from the country, and he was basically conscripted to carry the cross for Christ because Christ was in such terrible shape by that time. And I'm thinking about Simon of Cyrene. He's come from the country, from far away. He's going to be going into Jerusalem for the Passover. I'm thinking, gosh, maybe he's got his coffee or something over his fire that morning, and he's getting ready to go into Jerusalem, and he has no idea that he's going to have this interaction with Christ. And I find that powerful as I think about this journey from cross to resurrection.
Yeah, the amazing thing is when you read the New Testament and these accounts, you will often see yourself in the Bible, not just, you know, the characters that are there, and you see yourself in them. You may see yourself as Peter, you know, you got the best of intentions, but you end up denying him, or as some of the disciples who run away, or Thomas who doubted, or Simon of Cyrene. But, you know, again, this is God's extraordinary revelation to us to ultimately not just reveal who we are, but to who he is. And the surprise of Simon is, of course, is he wasn't counting on this, and his life turned unexpectedly. And I guess I'd say that to your listening audience. Your life can turn unexpectedly in an extraordinary direction when you come to Christ and you fall down at your feet, fall down on your knees, and you call him Savior and Lord, and you invite him into your life. He is the living, risen Lord. He is still around and available, and that means for you too.
So, Dr. Sweeting, because of my faith, I feel this calling on my heart to do the show that we do, that we search for truth and clarity, to try to shed light on what is happening in our modern world. And I try to follow that calling that is on my heart and try to do that until he might ask me to do something different.
Sure.
What about you? What do you say to people?
Oh, well, I think the primary call on all our lives is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. I mean, that call will never change. Whatever your job situation changes, whatever your station in life, I think there are other calls that God gives to us, but that's the primary call. That's where you start. And as you get that centered and straight, then other things fall into place. You know, Jesus said, seek me first in my kingdom, and these other things I'll add to you. And, of course, then God does call us to other things. He has throughout history. He calls, you know, some to the fishing business and some to leave the fishing business. And he calls some to broadcasting and some to be pastors and some to be educators and on it goes. And, you know, parenting and being a husband or a wife, that's part of our calling, too, being a neighbor. That's worth a show in itself, Kim. I've got a lot to say about this one, but I just focus on the primary call. You know, that's very clear right now. That is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Well, and I think your point is well taken. Get these things in the right priority. And when you get those in the right priority, then it's amazing what happens in life. And you can address these things that happen in life because Christ addressed all that at the cross. So we've got just a few minutes left. Let's talk a little bit about the women that go to the tomb and just what they must have gone through. Just, I can't imagine their thought process. They're like, wait a minute. They got it. But I think it would take me a minute to try to understand what was actually occurring in front of them.
Yeah. So one of the things that increases my trust in the Bible is that the Bible doesn't come off as a book that was concocted to make everything look great. You know, the disciples all flee from him. They don't come off well. Sometimes people will say, oh, but they were such gullible people. You know, of course they believe in resurrections and things like that. But that's not what you see on the pages of the New Testament. You see the apostles slow to believe. And who are the first ones to believe? Why, it's the women going to the tomb, and they're the ones, they're kind of the apostles to the apostles. They're the ones who tell the apostles, the 12, the disciples, you know, it's empty. We saw him. And of course, they don't believe him. Now, the witness of women in that time was, you know, somewhat circumspect. And of course, if you're concocting this whole New Testament gospel account, it's not something you'd put there. So I find that those little episodes are just, they affirm the veracity of the account for me and for many other people.
Oh, my gosh. Dr. Don Sweeting, Chancellor at Colorado Christian University, thank you for this amazing conversation. And thank you for this broadcast, for Good Friday, and also for Easter, the hope of Easter. So thank you so much.
So good to be with you.
And our quote for the end of the show, I went to Matthew 28:6, and it is this. He said, he is not here. He has risen. Just as he said. So my friends, today be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you. God bless America, and stay tuned for hour number two.
Opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district. What on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, I can't understand that.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
And it's not fair just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
And welcome to the second hour of the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. You're each treasured, you're valued, you have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body, my friends. We were made for this moment in history. And thank you to the team that I get to work with. That's producer Joe, Luke, Rachel, Zach, Echo, Charlie, Mike, Teresa, Amanda, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. While you're there, sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You'll get first look at our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent essays. We'll be rolling out this weekend Pam Long's upcoming essay regarding changes in public health and HHS under this new administration. You can email me at Kim at KimMunson.com. Thank you to all of you who support us. And the show comes to you 6 to 8 a.m. Monday through Friday. And the first hour is rebroadcast 1 to 2 in the afternoon, second hour 10 to 11 at night. That's on all KLZ 560 platforms, KLZ 560 AM, 100.7 FM, the KLZ website and the app, so you can listen anywhere in the world on those, as well as Play Alexa. My understanding is we come in loud and clear there, so be sure and check all that out. As you know, we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. We're really working to stay out of all the personality fighting. We want to stay focused on these issues because it's the issues that are putting Colorado in this very dangerous position. And I also wanted to say thank you to Laramie Energy for their gold sponsorship of the show, because it is reliable, efficient, affordable, and abundant energy from sources such as natural gas and oil and coal, powers our lives, fuels our hopes and dreams, and empowers us to change our own personal climate. So we are pre-recording for this Good Friday, and very pleased to have on the line with me Pam Long. You know her. She is a former captain in the Army Medical Service Corps. She's a graduate of West Point. She is the military director with Children's Health Defense and a regular contributor here at the Kim Munson Show. Pam Long, welcome, and I'm wishing you, do we wish a happy Good Friday? I guess we wish happy Easter. Good Friday is pretty somber.
You know, Good Friday is, we celebrate the good news that is coming of the gospel, and it is a reminder to all of us that, you know, when days look dark, God is still acting and God is still on the throne and has something that we should be waiting expectantly for.
Well, and boy, I tell you, as we live here in Colorado, it seems like as I watch some of the things that are happening, it's our beautiful state. There's many dark things that are happening. There's this continued assault upon our children. And how you and I met was regarding forced vaccinations. We realize informed consent is so important. Never even dreamed this whole transgender agenda on our children. Those things are very dark to me, Pam Long.
You know, and hopefully today, Kim, I'm bringing you really good news on Good Friday, because those old agendas on the national and state level of body diversity and neurodiversity and gender diversity, those days are over.
For Colorado, too?
I mean, everything trickles down from HHS. You know, it's the largest federal agency, and it has the largest budget, nearly $2 trillion. And right now, the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, they're scrambling with cuts. Like, all that free COVID money has been yanked out from underneath them. So, yes, all of this will trickle down to Colorado as well.
Well, and is it too much to say that we are at the tip of the spear? I know that you're watching things all over the country, but when I see what's happening here, I think Colorado is at the tip of the spear for much of the radical activist extreme agenda out there, particularly in healthcare.
Particularly in healthcare. And so, yes, Colorado tends to ghostwrite, you know, have all these pharma ghostwritten bills and other agendas to, if we can get them passed here, then other states, blue states, are emboldened to write the same type of language in their legislation. However, but remember, I feel like a day is coming when conservatives will start to use lawfare as effectively as maybe the liberals have been using it. And we will change course. We will correct everything that has passed through the Democrat supermajority in time.
Okay, so question on that, Pam Long, because as I hear the term lawfare, and as I've seen it being used from the radical activist extreme left, is it seems illegal to me. It seems like it's outside of the judiciary. As we, as constitutionalists, as conservatives, as Americans, to use lawfare, I don't want to do anything outside our Constitution, so what's your thoughts on how we will use lawfare?
Well, that's not really the topic today, but I do think it is a strategy and a weapon in our arsenal that we are underutilizing. For example, the COVID mandates. We are seeing in the courts are ruling in all public sectors, healthcare, education, employment, that the COVID mandate violated people's rights to religious exemptions. And okay, we need more lawyers lawyering up, understanding people's rights, and not just rule followers saying, well, the government said you had to take it to keep your job. No, we need people standing up for our rights.
Well, and right, this was not our subject for today, but I think it is important that the lawfare that we would want to use would be within the confines of this Constitution. So what you just mentioned is that these COVID mandates went directly against probably the First Amendment, yes?
Yes, and more specifically, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which has guaranteed that people have religious rights, and those don't even have to be from a institutional religion. They are just deeply held personal beliefs, a philosophical beliefs, a moral objection to injecting something that you deem unconscionable into your body. The Religious Freedom Restoration Act has given rights to vegans, pagans, Satanists. It just so happens to be that it's Christians who are, not being afforded their rights, their religious rights in recent years.
Okay, so this is really important, and let's go to break. I'm talking with Pam Long. We're going to really talk about the subject we wanted to, and that is these changes in public health and HHS. But we have these discussions because I am blessed to work with really amazing sponsors. And I am so pleased to work with amazing people as sponsors of the show. As you all know, I'm an independent voice on an independent station, and we speak truth and clarity into these issues. And I'm so thrilled that a new sponsor of the show is the Second Syndicate. That website is thesecondsyndicate.com. And I love their tagline, and it is, where the second is first. So, Alicia Garcia, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us, Kim.
And Teddy Collins, welcome as well. Both of you are with the Second Syndicate. And then, Teddy, also you have a business, Spartan Defense, as well, correct?
Yeah, Spartan Defense Armory out of Colorado Springs.
Okay, great. Well, Alicia, as you and I were talking, and we've mentioned this on the show before, there's so many different voices out there regarding the Second Amendment. It is so important. It's the right to keep and bear firearms to protect ourselves against bad actors. This right is under legislative and cultural attack here in Colorado. And then if you can get people on the same side of an issue arguing with each other, then those that are wanting to take away the rights, it's easier for them to have success, Alicia. And so that's why you and Teddy have created the Second Syndicate.
Correct.
And why is that important, Alicia?
I feel like right now there is a lot of Coloradans' voices that aren't being heard because either, you know, maybe they don't fall into the social norm. Maybe they're not the stereotypical Christian conservative, and they don't have, you know, they all share the values and support the Second Amendment. And one thing that we tend to agree on here at the Second Syndicate is this is a civil right, it's a human right, it is not a partisan issue. So we created the Second Syndicate to be a tandem organization. We are happy to work with any other Second Amendment organizations in Colorado. However, we welcome all people from all walks of life to unite them in under the protection of the Second Amendment. We feel that all people belong here with us, and we think that they deserve a right to stay alive, to defend their families, and to provide for themselves. And the Second Amendment does that. So we wanted to create an organization that welcomes all people from all, you know, race, colored, creeds and backgrounds to let them know that we're here and we want to champion that mission with them.
Well, and Teddy Collins, I love what Alicia is talking about. And as we've been working together and preparing for all this, what I've realizing is that the secondsyndicate.com is creating a big tent. And there's a lot of different people. There's, I think, the big, broad middle of America, as they're understanding this issue, I think you're bringing them together at the secondsyndicate.com.
Yeah, we're doing our best to do so. You know, the Second Amendment doesn't see color, it doesn't see race, it doesn't see gender. It's open to everybody, everybody that wants, that needs that right to be able to defend themselves. And just to clarify, the secondsyndicate.com is the 2ND syndicate.com. It's, so second is not spelled out, it's 2ND abbreviated. We want to have everybody in this big tent.
Well, and I love that, Alicia, because I know that you are working to make that happen. And we will be coming in on the end of the legislative session, and we're pre-recording this, so it just happened yesterday as we're pre-recording that Jared Polis signed Senate Bill 25003, which is one of the most onerous pieces of legislation ever, I think, in America, but it's right here in Colorado, and that's why the discussions that we have are so important. And there's a whole bunch of other things that are occurring on the Second Amendment here in Colorado, but I love the fact you're creating this big tent.
Indeed, and I think it's very important that we get the word out that we exist and we're here for people. I think right now Colorado is feeling very defeated, and I feel that they have no resources or nowhere to go that's going to bring them in and encourage them to get involved. And when people aren't involved, this is the type of legislation that passes. So although that, you know, what's done is done, can we continue to fight and can we push for change? Absolutely we can. And one thing that I really love about working with Teddy and the fact that we created the Second Syndicate is we're bringing people hope and we're letting people know that we're just regular people. We're from Colorado. We're Colorado small businesses. We're families. And we want them to know, you know, all it takes is to make a difference in one person, because in every person, the closer we become and the more united and empowered we become, we ball into a fist. And when we're a fist, now we can start making change. Now we can resist, and now we can stand up and be a united voice against the tyranny that is wanting to conquer our hometown of Colorado.
Well, I love the work you're doing. And Teddy Collins, what is that website?
The2ndsyndicate.com.
Okay, that's the2ndsyndicate.com. Alicia and Teddy, thank you so much. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you, Kim.
Thank you for having us.
It seems like we are getting squeezed everywhere. Inflation, high taxes, at the gas pump. Where can you save money? Well, when you bundle your insurance coverage with the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team, you may save money on your insurance premiums. The Roger Mangan Team will help you with a personalized plan to cover all your insurance needs for your home, auto, boat, and renter's coverage. For a complimentary appointment, call the Roger Mangan Team now at 303-795-8855. That number again is 303-795-8855. Like a good neighbor, the Roger Mangan Team is there.
Property is surely a right of mankind as real as liberty, wrote Founding Father John Adams. RE/MAX Realtor Karen Levine has been working diligently at the local, county, state, and national levels to protect property rights and home ownership. Karen has navigated the often challenging Colorado metro real estate market for years. Karen Levine is the trusted professional for you to turn to when you are buying or selling your home, considering a new build, or exploring investment opportunities. Realtor Karen Levine, you want her on your side of the table. Call Karen at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
It's Friday, yeah!
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And I did want to mention the Center for American Values, which is located in Pueblo, Colorado. which I think there's going to be a renaissance of these values that they have continued to focus on, which is honor, integrity, and patriotism. And they do this through their portraits of valor of their Medal of Honor recipients, of our Medal of Honor recipients, their on values presentations, and then also some great educational programs, K through 12. And I think there will be a renaissance of that. More information, go to AmericanValueCenter.org. Talking with Pam Long, and she is a graduate of West Point. She is a former captain in the Army Medical Service Corps, as well as she is the military director for Children's Health Defense, which that was founded by RFK Jr., wasn't it, Pam Long?
Yes, it was. He has taken leave from the organization for his responsibilities at Health and Human Services, and the organization continues on with thousands of supporters.
And so he's busy now. Let's talk about his new job over what's happening in public health and HHS, because that it really seemed to me that that all was weaponized against everyday people. I was talking with a young person just this last weekend who ended up, I think, feeling coerced to take the jab, ended up taking the jab twice because she was told she would lose her job if she didn't. You talk about coercion and fear. That was a bad time in our country.
It was. And let's talk about some of the changes in this first 90 days under RFK Jr. in HHS regarding drugs and vaccines. Dr. Peter Marks, who was our top vaccine official at the FDA, resigned. He did not align with Kennedy's call for transparency and high standards in research. You know, most vaccines are tested on a very small number of people for a very short duration, less than, 60 days, without a true saline placebo in a control group. They're tested against other highly reactive vaccines. So Kennedy aims to restore gold standards in research so consumers can have good solid, information before they make a choice on a vaccine. He also postponed the February meeting of the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, known as the ACIP Committee, and he directed the CDC to create a web tool which discloses the conflicts of interest of ACIP members who work for the vaccine industry, but then also have a vote to recommend vaccines for children, which become mandates for education in schools. Kennedy also canceled the March meeting of the Vaccine and Related Biological Products Advisory Committee, which is called the VRBPAC, which every year meets to select strains for the following year's influenza vaccine. And this entire vaccine program is in question now after a Cleveland Clinic study of 53,000 adults in this past flu season reported that the influenza vaccine has negative efficacy. So vaccinated individuals with the flu shot have a 27% higher risk of contracting influenza than unvaccinated individual. So this study has created a lot more controversy over vaccine mandates, especially for employment in healthcare jobs in the military, where the flu shot is still mandatory and it's very difficult to get an exemption or an accommodation. In addition to that, on the vaccine side, the CDC will be creating a new vaccine injury unit with the stated goal of improving surveillance and treatment of adverse events. The public is not very well informed on each vaccine's adverse event profile. Mostly they hear a marketing term of vaccines are safe and effective, when they in fact do have adverse events, including chronic conditions, disabilities, death. So I think you will see a lot more radical transparency as Kennedy has promised the public. Now, right now we have a measles outbreak, allegedly. The measles is endemic. We did not eradicate measles. So we have measles every year, but right now you have 600 cases in the nation, mostly in Texas. But what you don't see are school expulsions, revocations of religious exemptions like you saw in a previous measles outbreak in New York. You see a very different response. You see for the first time the Secretary of HHS recommending vitamin A. And then, counterspin in the media that vitamin A, will cause your liver to become toxic. You see these behind the scenes on what has been going on for years. Information has been suppressed. And when the information comes out, this is a vitamin A deficiency. And then pharma wants you to believe that vitamin A is bad for you. So in a nutshell, those are like the main changes that we have seen in the past 90 days for vaccines.
So let's talk a little bit more about measles, because I've seen the headlines. And is there a chance that you mentioned this measles outbreak is primarily in Texas? Is there any correlation between those coming across the border illegally and measles, or is that difficult to assess?
No, when I Secretary Kennedy went and visited families that have had children affected, and it looks to me that these are, I don't know for sure the denomination, but they look like Mennonite families to me. So these are families with lots of children, and, you know, they tend to exempt from vaccines. So let's focus on the spin. There's been reports of that, of a death of a child. Mm-hmm. And the investigation on that child was the child. There's been a couple of reports of death and adverse reaction, but the one death turned out to be medical malpractice. The child had pneumonia. The child was not given the proper basic care for pneumonia. And I would refer anyone to Children's Health Defense for the interviews with the parents on that child. That was not a measles death. That was a child with pneumonia who was not treated properly with breathing treatments. And there is another infant who allegedly had measles, but it turned out to be a vaccine reaction. So there's a lot of spin going on in the media. Measles is the, in my, you know, 10 years on the job here, measles is the go-to virus to scare people into complying with some type of vaccine mandate or, agenda.
Well, and I'm going to date myself, but I'm pretty sure I had measles as a kid.
You likely did, Kim. So did I. And there's new emerging research in the last few years that these childhood illnesses, and again, it's Good Friday, so let's talk about intelligent design, right? That these childhood illnesses that are mild actually build your immune system in ways that can protect you later in life from cancer, even. And just go on PubMed and, you know, look at the literature. These childhood viruses are mild. If in healthy children, they are not fatal. You know, we're averaging zero measles fatalities, near zero for the last, I've looked at the data going back 10 or 20 years. It's only in really unhealthy situations or comorbid conditions with pneumonia that you would see a fatality, a measles fatality in a child.
Okay. We're going to continue the discussion with Pam Long regarding the changes in public health and HHS under this new administration. These are important discussions, and we have them because of our sponsors. And for everything mortgages, be sure to reach out to Lauren Levy.
The current level of interest rates is causing challenges and creating opportunities. For nearly 20 years, mortgage specialist with Polygon Financial Group, Lauren Levy, has helped individuals realize their hopes and dreams of home ownership, fund kids' educations through second mortgages, and access capital by utilizing reverse mortgages. Lauren's not constrained to work with just one lender. Because he works with many different lenders, Lauren offers you choices for your individual mortgage needs. Knowledge is power, and preparation leads to success. Call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881 so that you are prepared for the opportunities in the mortgage market. That's Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881.
The Second Amendment was established to ensure that all individuals have the right to resist oppression, stand firm against government overreach, and protect our ability to defend ourselves, our families, and our freedoms. Today, that right is under relentless attack in Colorado. Colorado's premier grassroots Second Amendment organization, the Second Syndicate, is on the front lines, fighting to preserve and protect your constitutional rights. We expose the most pressing threats to the Second Amendment and provide the education, resources, and tools to stay informed, empowered, and prepared. Join the movement. Protect your rights. Visit thesecondsyndicate.com. That's thesecondsyndicate.com, where the second is first.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N. com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice, and we search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. Happy Good Friday. We have pre-recorded this show with special guests, and our special guest this hour is Pam Long. She is a graduate of West Point. She is a former captain in the Army Medical Service Corps. She is the military director with Children's Health Defense. And Pam, it's really interesting watching with RFK Jr. now at the helm of Health and Human Services, looking at the different changes in public health and what's happening at HHS. Our nutrition, our food, I think is a place that we really need to make a change, to make America healthy again. I know as we kind of, well, as we look around, that many Americans are struggling with weight challenges. I'll just put it that way.
They are. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is very passionate about food and nutrition. He's having a very good outcome for someone his age, right? We should all aspire to look that fit and healthy in our 70s, and it's possible. So HHS is designing a new food pyramid based on whole foods in an effort to reduce obesity. The food pyramid has been heavily influenced by, you know, processed food companies for a couple of decades now, which is not in the best interest of health. HHS has also directed the FDA to remove harmful chemicals in foods. The U.S. adopted a GRAS, G-R-A-S, loophole, which is an acronym for Generally Recognized as Safe policy, which allowed our food companies to introduce over 10,000 chemicals in our food products, while in European nations, they have only around 400 chemicals allowed in their food products. So this policy will eliminate food dyes, specifically among other chemicals, linked to behavioral problems in children. And so Kennedy met with leaders from Kraft, Heinz, General Mills, Tyson, Kellogg's, Smucker's, and Pepsi to let them know this is required to do business in America. Kennedy also, along with the Secretary of Agriculture, Brooke Rollins, has visited schools and daycares to emphasize how healthy food, healthy school lunches impact academic performance, looking at some very progressive programs with healthy food in these schools. He's also endorsed a West Virginia bill, which eliminates sodas and sugary drinks from the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, known as SNAP. This is to prevent diabetes in low-income families. And Kennedy stated that diabetes is costing the U.S. more than our entire military budget. This is a super interesting example of how influencers were paid to push back on taking sugary drinks out of children's, you know, nutrition programs. So don't trust everything you hear from your favorite influencer on social media. It could be advertising for, you know, the processed food companies. Kennedy also introduced Operation Stork Speed. This is to remove heavy metals, corn syrups, and seed oils from our infant formula. Our infant formula is very different, again, from European nations, and some would say it's unfit for human consumption, again, heavily influenced by our food companies. And Kennedy also advocated against vaccinating our poultry, which affects our food supply, for avian flu because of the precedent with Marek's disease. Marek's disease, that poultry vaccine, made the virus more virulent. And so he's trying to avoid another Marek's disease, which would, you know, kill off a significant portion of our poultry in our food supply.
So speaking of our poultry, I was at a restaurant recently in a different state, and they had a 10% add-on called Shell Shock. And it was a breakfast place. And so I said, well, gosh, what is that? And they said, well, it's temporary. And because of the price of eggs, we've added a 10% charge onto that. We want to, hopefully it'll go away, but it's because of the avian bird flu. And I didn't say it. I should have said, well, it's because they killed all the chickens is probably what happened. But they were blaming it on the avian bird flu, which that had been the the narrative out there, which certainly they're unhealthy birds. We want to do something about that. But it was crazy to kill all these healthy birds, Pam Long.
I mean, that's the definition of overkill, right? Like, you don't kill all the healthy birds because there's one unhealthy bird.
Well, and also, as Susan Kochevar has brought up, is the healthy birds probably have natural immunity. So those are the birds that we want to make sure that thrive so that we can start to have natural immunity in those flocks. But I guess if you wanted to vaccinate every bird, then you would kill the healthy birds. Again, I'm surmising.
That you nailed it. That's exactly what the scenario, the choice we're, you know, you that we're faced with. You know, keep the healthy birds that are strong and can fight the disease, whatever the, you know, disease might be, or the virus, or kill them all, and then no one has immunity. We're starting over, right?
Right. And so, yes, just connect the dots on that. So let's talk a little bit more about RFK Jr. and HHS. You said they're changing the food pyramid a bit, and what's that going to look like then? It's always, they've talked about eat your fruits and vegetables. I really like protein in the diet. I think that's important. So what's that pyramid going to look like?
Well, based on everything else that is happening at HHS, I think you will see an emphasis on protein and vegetables, but you'll also see some things that, you know, maybe the public has just not been educated on, like seed oils. There are good oils and there are bad oils. There are good fats and there are bad fats. And you will see some type of balance that will address the good fats and the good oils. And you will probably see a reduction in carbohydrates. Like there's good carbs and bad carbs, right? Like cereal for breakfast, that's mostly sugar and carbs. I would say that's probably, I'm sorry for all you cereal eaters, it's quick and easy, but there's really no protein in it and there's no good fat in it. Like, it's not a balanced meal. So, I mean, this is where there's funny memes about RFK, because people really like their breakfast cereals. They grew up on it. Yeah. That's how they were raised in this generation. But we are going to get back to, you know, eating practices where people were lean and men were 160 pounds. This is funny, Kim. So my son and I, he's 24, and we were looking at the BMI scale for him, and he was shocked to see that someone 6'6 should weigh 160 pounds.
That's skinny.
I'm like, go look at World War II photos of those lean soldiers. And we did, and they are healthy and fit.
So, next question, should we eat three meals a day? This wasn't on our list of things to do, but, or should it be snacks? Or I guess each person's different and their body will tell them each day. What do you think about that?
Well, I can't really give nutrition advice here, but there's many approaches based on your metabolism, your age, your height. There's different, you know, some people are, you know, carnivore people are getting great results. They're heavy protein. Keto people, high protein, low carb, high fat are getting good results. So it really depends on a number of factors. But I would say if you're eating a lot of fast foods and processed foods and you're not cooking at home and controlling the ingredients, you know, for organic and nutrient dense foods, we really need to get back to fermented foods. Huge benefits for longevity and a number of health issues. Even organ meats. I know people are probably freaking out hearing this. There are very, very, very creative ways to hide ground organ meats and chilies and meatballs and such. Now I'm into just plain old crazy talk, but I think you will see a return to how your grandmother cooked and ate.
Oh, my mother used to camouflage liver as round steak. And so here was this beautiful, I thought it was round steak with onions on it and some gravy. One bite, I couldn't go any further. I just can't do it, Pam Long.
Kim, I will make you some liver meatballs, and they will be the best liver meatballs that you have ever. You won't even know there's liver in it because it's hidden so well.
Okay, deal. That is a deal. So we have just a few more minutes on this particular subject, and that is nutrition, food. What about someone that is overweight, really wants to lose weight? And again, we're just having a conversation. This isn't real recommendations. One of my grandfathers said that one of the best exercises that you could do was to push yourself away from the dinner table. And I've always thought that was probably some good advice. What do you think about that?
Well, again, this is not official advice, but, you know, I did have height-weight requirements when I was in the military, so I had to learn a bit about fitness, diet, exercise. So I'm actually in what I call a bridesmaid boot camp right now. In 6 weeks, I'm an attendant in a wedding, so I'm rereading all, like, the advice. A couple of things. So walking is great for metabolism. I don't think people need excessive cardio to get in shape and be healthy. You need excessive cardio if you're eating excessive carbs, right? So, okay. Which most Americans probably are. But it's not great on your joints when you get older, so I've had to get away from, you know, long-distance running. There's some great tools out right now. My friends and I in this Bridesmaid Bootcamp, we're using MyFitnessPal. It gives you so much information. If you're like, am I eating too many calories for, you know, my weight loss goals? It gives you calories and macros and dietary nutrition information. Like, you can plug in exactly what you are eating, and it will tell you all the nutritional information, calories, and vitamins and minerals. And so you can know if you are overeating. And, you know, there's been some realizations using this app. Like, whoa, like, I had no idea. Like, you know, my breakfast was 600 calories, stuff like that. Like, that's way too many calories if you're on a 1,200-calorie meal plan. So there's some great tools we can use, but it's going back to the basics of, you know, just walking, watching what you eat. Mm-hmm. That would be, like, my, you know, official advice.
Well, and those first two things, and even Thomas Jefferson talked about the benefits of walking. And I had done a show with Jake Jabs, who's the founder of American Furniture Warehouse, who's in his 90s. And he said that one of the things he does, he walks every day. And so I do think that walking is so important. And I'm going to laugh all day long about Bridesmaids boot camp. That's pretty darn funny. So, but I understand. I do understand. But I have added in as much as I possibly can, walking every day and sit-ups and doing squats. And I tell you, it's really making a difference. And then also, I don't have time to go to the gym. I just don't have time to, I can't add in another thing in. So I go into the pantry and I pull out two pasta jars and I've been doing curls with that. And I'm actually getting muscles as well. So those are the things that I'm doing.
So lightweight resistance is really great for your bones, especially as you get older. You don't need heavy weight. Like, the heaviest weight I use is 15 pounds. So, and I'm having some good results. I'm within range on the BMI chart.
Okay. Well, that's great. Well, we're going to continue the discussion with Pam Long, and we pre-recorded this for Good Friday. And what a very important day this is for all of us Christians as we are looking forward to Easter morning on all that. And so these discussions come to you because of our sponsors. If you've been injured, be sure and reach out to John Bozen and Bozen Law.
You don't have to suffer the consequences of someone else's negligence on your own. The attorneys at Bozen Law have extensive experience handling all types of personal injury and wrongful death claims involving motor vehicle accidents, medical malpractice, defective products, catastrophic injuries, and more. Bozen Law also assists clients with matters related to workers' compensation and Social Security Disability, SSD. Bozen Law takes pride in truly getting to know their clients and genuinely cares about helping you seek the justice you deserve. Call Bozen Law at 303-999-9999 for a complimentary consultation. That number is 303-999-9999. Call Bozen Law now.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love The Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields. So they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at KimMunson.com.
It's late at night. You're winding down with your family. And then you hear something outside. Your heart races. What's your next move? At Franktown Firearms and Colorado CQB, we make sure you're not caught off guard. Our purpose-built, 360-degree defensive shoot house puts you in realistic home defense scenarios so you can build the skills to protect what matters most. In our home defense series, you'll train with experienced military and law enforcement instructors to handle critical situations with confidence. Learn to assess threats at your front door, clear rooms safely, manage entry points, and make smart decisions under pressure, even in low light conditions. Because when it's real life, there's no time to second guess. And with Franktown Firearms located in one of Colorado's lowest tax districts, you'll save money while investing in your safety and your family's future. Be prepared, be confident. Learn more now at KLZradio.com/Franktown.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly email newsletter. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Thank you to all of you who support us. We're an independent voice on an independent station searching for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And do check out the USMC Memorial Foundation's website. And Mother's Day, Father's Day is right around the corner, and a great gift would be to purchase a brick that will be on one of their pathways of service to honor your loved one's military service, and you'll receive a beautiful certificate. To get more information about all that, go to usmcmemorialfoundation.org. I am talking with Pam Long. She is a former captain in the Army Medical Service Corps. She is a West Point graduate and the military director for Children's Health Defense. And she and I got to know each other. Actually, Pam, I think it was before COVID. It was when we were seeing these vaccine mandates down at the State House. I was a little late to the party. I had a number of moms that were reaching out to me saying, Kim, you need to take a look at this. And at the time, I thought vaccines, good idea, want to be a good mom, want to be a good citizen. But then as I looked at that legislation, and I saw that they were putting in place a situation where an unelected bureaucrat could mandate what we would have to put in our bodies and sometime in the future, that was where I woke up, and it was danger, danger. And I think that's where I got to know you.
Yes, and Kim, Republicans were late to the party on medical freedom, if you want to give yourself some grace. I had been working with Republicans in the State House for years before COVID, trying to convince them that the day is coming where there will be a new vaccine that you do not want, that you will want your exemption rights. And we were able to, back in the pre-COVID era, get a number, about a dozen legislators in both the House and the Senate to really stand up for exemption rights, and which is why we still have exemption rights here in Colorado.
Well, and yes, and then fast forward that into walking through COVID. And I've talked with so many people as they look back, they say, never again. We never want to let that happen again. But so we need to be vigilant. That's just one of the things that's so important. So let's talk a little bit about certain populations. Our military, and I didn't realize this, and I'm uncomfortable with this, has really been pin cushions for vaccines. And I don't really like that.
Right. The anthrax mandate, which was the rehearsal for the COVID vaccine mandate. The anthrax mandate in 2001 was the dress rehearsal within the military to mandate an EUA drug or vaccine, which the courts ruled, the Supreme Court ruled, was unlawful. You cannot mandate an experimental or emergency use authorized drug, even in the military. There's a big urban myth or urban legend saying that you lose all your rights in the military. No, you defend the Constitution and you retain your constitutional rights in the military. And so then fast forward to COVID, where now we are, the U.S. government is mandating illegally an experimental or emergency use authorized vaccine for COVID. So many people in my space would regard the anthrax mandate as a dress rehearsal for COVID in the broader population in the civilian sector. In what we have right now, currently, many people believe that Trump's executive order for reinstatement and back pay for military members who were discharged under that unlawful mandate for the COVID vaccine have been completely restored, which is not the truth. We've had 23 people return to the Department of Defense in the Army under this program because the people have not been held accountable in leadership, senior leadership, for an unlawful mandate. And people need to be tried for their crimes. And then people need to be restored. We still have an influenza vaccine mandate within the military, even with this recent study showing that it has negative efficacy. It's all risk, no benefit. And service members, to include pilots, many, I've heard from them, and in a survey I conducted with Children's Health Defense Military Chapter, they are being separated with years, sometimes 17, 18, 19 years of service. We have invested tens of thousands of training dollars, taxpayer dollars, into these patriots, and they are being outprocessed because the military, the Department of Defense, will not recognize the religious accommodations. And that is something I have advocated for with the Secretary of Health and Human Services. He has acknowledged that needs to end. And also at our Department of Veteran Affairs that are still mandating the COVID vaccine for our healthcare workers at VA and our veterans who seek to, you know, get care under their benefits. Okay. And so I do know that Secretary of Defense and Secretary of Veterans Affairs both have met with Kennedy.
So on that, I do remember that we had talked about this, and I had a veteran that said he was getting health care at the VA and was not being mandated for the COVID vaccine. So I would say that there's probably some pockets where people are able to get by without getting that vaccine at the VA.
Excellent. That is good to hear.
Yeah. But overall, the policy has been, yes, that they have to get it, huh?
It's still official policy, even if some people can get around it.
Okay. What about, I thought I saw a headline regarding tribal populations and vaccines. Are they treated differently?
Right. Our tribal leaders are, you know, considered sovereign. But there's a government entity, the Indian Health Services, that is under HHS, Health and Human Services. And Kennedy met with Indian Health Services and again talked about similar issues that are affecting, you know, the American general public, that processed foods are detrimental to Indian health. For some reason, our indigenous populations have an even worse health outcome. I'm talking about our Native Americans, our indigenous populations in Alaska. They just do not metabolize processed foods. No one really does it well, but those populations are just harder hit with health problems from processed foods.
Well, and so it is really important that this work be done to make all Americans, all people that live in America, healthy again. We've got just, we've got a few minutes left on this. I wanted to talk a little bit more about Good Friday and the significance of Good Friday, since we're broadcasting this on Good Friday. And with all of the things that are happening in Colorado, we always have to look to light and to hope. And that is why we do the show, is to shed light on what is happening. And as we shed light and understand these things, and you do so much of that as well, that's where we're going to start to find real solutions to a lot of these really dark things that are happening, Pam Long.
That's right. We have to look to the light of the world in these dark times.
Well, and that's why Good Friday is really so important. And so I think that you're looking to the future here in America with hope, with RFK Jr. at the helm of HHS. And do you get to talk to him at least sometimes or somewhat regularly?
He's a very busy man, not very often. I think I've spoken to him once since he has taken office. Sometimes a text message, but the man has 82,000 employees and it's, you know, the $2 trillion budget. He's very busy. He's everywhere. Check out his Twitter. He's really good at letting people know what he's doing on Twitter.
And so one other question. I'd seen a headline that like 1,200 HHS employees were lost their jobs or were let go. What's your thoughts about that, Pam Long?
It's actually 20,000. It's significant. I think it's probably needed in every government office. We could probably let go of 20,000 people. but you know what I think is interesting is there was a in vitro fertilization department in CDC that was cut. And that's just really strange to me that the Centers for Disease Control has a fertility department. The two don't go together. So there's been some good cuts, in my opinion.
Okay. And so certainly looking forward to the future. You feel helpful or hopeful. And I think our final thought is we'll continue to shed light on all of these different issues. I think people, this is the other thing, people need to be proactive. And that is to not just look to a pharmaceutical or a drug to fix a problem. I think people need to be proactive. And I think that's also one of the things that we're going to see under the RFK Jr. Health and Human Services MAHA movement.
Absolutely. The transparency of maybe some of the things you were told your whole life were not actually true. They were marketing for a drug or a food product that is actually very unhealthy for you.
And so we need to be proactive. We need to ask questions. And I also would actually request doctors to help with all of this informed consent, because if people are handed a little piece of paper with a whole bunch of things on it, they still look to their doctor, I think, for help on these issues. And so I'd really encourage doctors to be a real resource for informed consent.
That is the best recommendation. Do your own homework. Read the product insert. Read the ingredients. That's where it all starts.
Okay. Well, Pam Long, I greatly appreciate all that you do here in Colorado. I appreciate you being a contributing author here at the Kim Munson Show. We will be rolling out your piece, Changes in Public Health and HHS, this weekend. And I wish each and every one of you and your family members a very happy Easter as we are moving through Good Friday and getting to Easter morning.
And happy Resurrection Sunday to you too.
Yes, happy Resurrection Sunday as well. Thank you, Pam Long. And our quote for the end of the show, I found this from William Penn, and I love this. He said this, he said, "No pain, no palm, no thorns, no throne, no gall, no glory, no cross, no crown." So, my friends, I do wish you a very happy Resurrection Day, and as we reflect upon Good Friday and the hope of Easter morning. And as you all know, today, my friends, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.